This is Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ in court, defending life.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We'll hear argument first this morning, number 95-1065, Paul Shank and Dwight Saunders versus Pro-Choice Network of Western New York. Mr. Sekulow.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, whatever one thinks of abortion, this court in both Bray and Casey has recognized that there are common and respectable reasons for opposing it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The opposition to abortion with which we are concerned involves demonstrations.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to be taking a look at major cases that the ACLJ is involved in regarding the life issue. You're going to be hearing from senior attorneys here at the ACLJ that are handling these HHS mandate cases. These are cases where businesses are being told you must provide insurance benefits, which includes abortion-related drugs, which violates their conscience. We're fighting the United States Department of Justice there. You're also going to hear from Frank Mannion, senior counsel from the ACLJ, fighting Planned Parenthood in federal court. The biggest abortion provider in the United States and some of the largest law firms in the United States. But this is not the first time we've dealt with these cases. I want to take you back to a case that I had at the Supreme Court about a decade ago, actually more than that, looking at about 15 years ago. Take a listen.
The anti-abortion people had people called sidewalk counselors.
Yes, yes.
And the clinics had people who were meant to counter the sidewalk counselors. Who would surround the person coming in and talk about everything and anything, make noise, which made it quite difficult to speak to that person from 15 feet.
Precisely. And in that nature would also inform these women about their rights under the injunction, would encourage them to engage in a communication, to stop the communication. They would surround them. This was not, as I said, courtroom decorum discussion. This is discussion on a street where there's people on both sides of the issue. Any place these individuals are demonstrating is the site chosen for demonstration. As I understand the government's argument and the respondents, there is now a medical exception to the First Amendment. This court in Mattson dealt with evidence that came to the same conclusions regarding increased stress. Despite that increased stress, the no approach zone was still deemed to burden more speech than necessary.
You're alluding to the notion of the floating bubble, and I want to remind this court that judges under a federal statute, 18 U.S.C. 1507, have what amounts to a floating bubble around any building or residence you use or occupy. People can't go near.
Yeah, but the building doesn't float.
No, but judges... No.
I think your proposition is extraordinary, that if the very brief TRO is working, then the injunction must be stopped rather than maintained.
But Justice Ginsburg, if it is working but infringes on free speech at the same time...
Well, then there was something wrong with the TRO.
Well,
but the notion that I thought you were putting forward to us was that because there was compliance with the TRO, there was no longer need for that restraint.
We have not challenged, nor are we here challenging, the restrictions other than the two speech provisions. Under this injunction, if they were directed at, say, a Xerox salesman who was doing business with the abortion facility and a demonstrator were to try to approach him and say, please don't do business with this facility because they're engaged in a practice that we personally find abhorrent. That Xerox salesman, not just the woman seeking abortion, that Xerox salesman has the advantage of this injunction.
Thank you, Mr. Sekulow. The case is submitted.
All right, folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Ed White. He's a senior counsel with the ACLJ. I'm going to give you an update on these HHS mandate cases. But as we've mentioned, we are handling right now a very important issue, and that is the ability of these crisis pregnancy centers to stay in ministry. There's an attempt to close them down by various governments, and also behind it, of course, Planned Parenthood and NARAL. We want your help. We want you on an amicus brief going to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. You can sign that brief by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that brief. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
A national assault is underway. Planned Parenthood and pro-abortion legislators are targeting pro-life pregnancy centers in cities across America, passing unconstitutional laws designed to shut down these pro-life centers or force them to adopt and express views about abortion that they strongly disagree with. The ACLJ is on the front lines protecting the constitutional free speech rights of pro-life pregnancy centers. We've just completed oral arguments before a federal appeals court in a critical ACLJ case in New York City. Now, the ACLJ is preparing to file a significant amicus brief backing a pro-life lawsuit that is challenging a troubling law in Baltimore. This is the time to stand up for life. Add your name to our amicus brief in the Baltimore case. The move to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers by using unconstitutional laws is very real and must not succeed. Make a difference. Add your name to our brief today. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
We've been focusing this week on the issue of pro-life litigation that the ACLJ is involved in, whether it's the crisis pregnancy centers, the HHS mandate, lawsuits against Planned Parenthood, or standing up for pharmacists who don't want to dispense abortifacients. There's a lot of issues going on. Ed White is a senior counsel at the ACLJ. He's been handling a lot of these issues. Ed, let's get a kind of a broad overview of the pro-life cases that you're engaged in right now in litigation.
Sure. In litigation, we have quite a few cases involving the HHS mandate. That's the mandate that is being pushed by the Obama administration, that employers have to have health insurance for their employees that cover abortion, inducing drugs, contraception, sterilization, regardless of your religious views on the matter.
You know, we talked a little bit yesterday, Ed, about with this with Jeff Surtees, and let's put the context of exactly, if you're the employer, what is happening to you here?
What's happening to you is that you now have to have health care insurance coverage without any cost to your employees that will provide them with sterilization, contraception, including abortion-inducing drugs. So what that means is that you, as an employer, no matter what your religious faith is, have to now pay for something that you find morally offensive.
So, and let's talk about where this is coming out of, because a lot of people saying, well, you know, the president said, and with Obamacare, there was nothing about abortion. This has nothing to do with abortion. But yet, this is an HHS rule and regulation, a mandate coming out of HHS, but it derives from the Obamacare plan.
Correct. And what they did is in Obamacare, and this is how one of the ways Obama, the president, has gotten around this, is there's a statement in Obamacare that says health insurance should cover preventive measures. And then after, HHS then went to an organization and said, define for us preventive measures. And they came back and said, oh, well, preventive measures includes what we deem are to be sterilization and contraception. Then HHS said, okay, fine, then preventive measures now will include these various things. You have to have it in your health care plan, and if you do not have it in your health care plan, we will then fine you either $2,000 a year per employee or $100 a day per employee. So, for example, one of the organizations that's challenging the HHS mandate along with the ACLJ is the University of Notre Dame. And the University of Notre Dame has come out in reports and said, if we do not comply with this mandate, we are going to have to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million a year in fines and penalties to the United States government just because we want to stay within keeping of the Catholic Church's views on sterilization, abortion, and contraception.
So let me ask you this. I mean, there were all these statements that were given, you know, there's nothing in the plan in the Obamacare legislation about abortion, yet we've got now, through the regulatory process, a compelled abortion component to Obamacare. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. Through the pills, through the abortion, the morning after pills, the pills that prevent a fertilized egg, which people of faith believe is at that point a human being, from implanting in the mother's womb, therefore being flushed out of the system and, in effect, being killed because it doesn't have a chance to survive. That is being done now through the Obama administration and through HHS. And what they have done is they keep saying, the Obama administration, oh, we're thinking about accommodating you people of faith. However, they have yet to do that.
Well, that's okay, let's talk about that, because there was this whole discussion that there was going to be this accommodation put forward in the regulatory process so that these churches, religious institutions, private employers that have religious convictions would not be compelled to violate their conscience. None of that has come out yet.
No, none of that has come out. And what the mainstream media did there, if you remember back in February, Obama came out and he had that press conference saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Quietly that evening, HHS put into effect the same mandate that Obama was saying, oh, we're going to change this. So that's what's in effect. The one that says you have to have these insurance components, the abortion inducing drugs, contraception, sterilization, that's in there. That's the final rule right now. They keep saying maybe we'll change it. It's, you remember they always have the listening tours politicians will do?
Sure.
Well, they're having some listening tour out there. But there's no guarantees, there's nothing. And right now, all of these organizations, these companies, have to now, depending on, right now the mandate is in effect as of August 1st, just a few weeks ago, it's in effect. So whenever their policies come up to change, and that could be whenever, you know, some policies change September 1st, October 1st, whatever, they then have to have a policy in compliance with this mandate.
Well, let me ask you this. Who's the motivating factor and forces behind this?
The abortion industry, in my view.
Yeah, that's okay. So let's. I think we have to be clear on that this is the abortion industry's agenda.
Oh, most definitely. This is the abortion industry agenda. This is a secular agenda to put through what they know they cannot get through the voting situation. And it is now, in effect, a sledgehammer being smashed against religious liberty in this country. And it's being funded by and being pushed by progressive secularists who want to get their agenda across the country against the will of the American people.
Now, the fact of the matter is, while we're in court on these, the fact is that the president is no longer the president and Governor Romney became the president, Governor Romney could change this regulation immediately.
Right. As soon as he became president, that same day he's sworn in, he just goes back and tells whoever will be his HHS secretary, change it.
Because this was not done through the legislative process. This was done, they mandated this through the regulatory process.
Correct. And that's where they have the big leeway. And they're basically untouchable because it's not as though you can vote the congressman out of office at that particular point. You have to wait until the entire administration, the president, changes. So it's much. They have much more leeway, and it's done just at their whim.
Let me ask you this. This is important, Ed, because I've been kind of hammering this with the other lawyers that we've had on talking about these pro-life cases. People need to understand who we're fighting against on the other side of this. This is the United States Department of Justice.
Yes, the largest law firm in the world.
And that impact, I mean, people need to understand that. It's the Obama administration's Eric Holder, Attorney General, United States Department of Justice, that's fighting against our positions here, and they're taking the position right now, Ed, that these employers have no conscience rights.
That's exactly correct.
All right, so
we are up against the largest law firm in the world.
Yeah, that's what people, folks, you need to understand what we're dealing with here. All right, let's move on from this one, Ed. Obviously, this is a huge issue. We've still got the pharmacy cases going on. I'm going to talk more with Frank Mannion on this, but give me your sense of these. We've got these cases against Planned Parenthood. Let's give us a brief overview, then we'll get more into more specifics when I'm on with Frank in just a few minutes. Talk about these Planned Parenthood cases.
Sure, the Planned Parenthood cases. We are representing whistleblowers, people who used to work for Planned Parenthood, who have come out and said Planned Parenthood is putting in false bills to the states and to the federal government and is benefiting from that, is in effect submitting fake claims and to increase their budget increase their revenue flow, and to the millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that's what we're trying to stop here, is Planned Parenthood from defrauding the taxpayers. That's you, me, and everyone listening.
Because people need to understand that this is money. The money that Planned Parenthood is billing is basically being charged right back to the United States Treasury. I mean, this is all part of the government reimbursement plans.
Oh, most definitely. It's coming out of our pockets.
So, and also, let's reiterate, and again, I'll get into more of this with Frank in just a minute, but in these particular cases, we're up against some big law firms, but the people that have come to us were people that worked with Planned Parenthood and knew that this fraudulent billing practices were going on.
Correct. And then they came out and they blew the whistle.
All right. So, Ed, let me ask you this question, which is the question I've been asking. Planned Parenthood, not just in these cases, but in a whole host of cases, has been getting horrible press. Horrible. I mean, the referrals for abortion for minors, how to violate state law. And yet they are still in business. They are a strong lobby, and people need to understand how strong of a lobby Planned Parenthood is.
Oh, huge. Huge lobby. They have a lot of money. They fund politicians who then go and protect them, politicians who then enact legislation to benefit them or give them money. Planned Parenthood is huge.
So it takes lawsuits like ours to bring justice in these kind of situations, because they are such a powerful lobby, it's going to be very difficult to beat them back in the lobbying arena.
Oh, most definitely. And even in our case here, it's us against Planned Parenthood because Obama's Department of Justice did not want to intervene.
Even though we've made allegations that the taxpayers have been defrauded, there the Department of Justice decides not to intervene. But compelling a business or a university or a hospital to violate their conscience, there the Department of Justice wants to demand that they do that.
Oh, most definitely. Right. I mean, it's backwards.
Yeah, unbelievable. Ed White is a senior counsel for the ACLJ, folks. We've been giving you a sense of the cases that were involved in the pro-life arena. Thanks, Ed, for the update, and keep us posted as the cases progress.
All right. Take care.
Very good. Ed White again, folks. Look, you're getting an overview in the last couple of days here as to the nature of the cases that we're involved in, and this is where you come in. We have got a brief due September 24th for crisis pregnancy centers that we're filing at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. We want broad representation from all 50 states to let people know we want to stand and support these crisis pregnancy centers and their ability to fulfill their mission. That's where you come in. They're being attempted basically to shut them down, to compel them to engage in speech they disagree with. You can go to your phones right now and call 1-877-989-2255 and add your name to these briefs and this committee that's filing this brief. We want thousands, tens of thousands for you to do it. 877-989-2255, or you can go right to the website at aclj.org. So it's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
A national assault is underway. Planned Parenthood and pro-abortion legislators are targeting pro-life pregnancy centers in cities across America, passing unconstitutional laws designed to shut down these pro-life centers or force them to adopt and express views about abortion that they strongly disagree with. The ACLJ is on the front lines protecting the constitutional free speech rights of pro-life pregnancy centers. We've just completed oral arguments before a federal appeals court in a critical ACLJ case in New York City. Now, the ACLJ is preparing to file a significant amicus brief backing a pro-life lawsuit that is challenging a troubling law in Baltimore. This is the time to stand up for life. Add your name to our amicus brief in the Baltimore case. The move to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers by using unconstitutional laws is very real and must not succeed. Make a difference. Add your name to our brief today. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the pro-life cases that the ACLJ is engaged in. You're hearing from a number of our senior attorneys. Right now on the phone with me is Frank Mannion, a senior ACLJ attorney. He's been working on these cases for decades. Let's, Frank, talk about first kind of an overview. In the pro-life fight right now, it used to be, you know, protesters in front of the abortion clinic. That was the nature of the fight. It's changed drastically over the last decade. Let's give a scope of what we're talking about right now and the nature of the cases that we're having to handle.
It really has, Jay. What we're dealing with now more and more, and really probably growing over the past decade, as you said, since I've been really focusing on this area, we're dealing with people on the front lines. We're dealing with the healthcare professionals, people that work in hospitals, nurses, pharmacists, doctors sometimes, people who have ancillary roles in the medical profession. They're the ones who get confronted by an employer. Sometimes the employer is just implementing a governmental mandate. More and more that seems to be the case. But they're being asked to do things that violate their conscience as pro-life citizens and pro-life medical professionals. And that's where they turn to us and we step in, and whether it's an employment matter or it's a challenge to a regulation such as the HHS mandate and others, we get involved in a legal way and we defend them, or we take action proactively and challenge something that they're being asked to do that violates their conscience.
The fact is, Frank, when you talk about, just talking to Ed White about this, when we're talking about like the HHS cases, we're fighting the United States Department of Justice. I mean, they are taking this very hardline position, giving no room at all for people of faith to not violate their conscience here.
None. And that's, it really is, when you think about it, you've got private citizens going up against the United States of America. I mean, that's the way the case captions read. It's kind of, you get used to it as a lawyer, but some of these people come to us and they think, am I suing the government? And, well, yeah, that's what you have to do. But that's what you have to do, and that's what this country's been about from the beginning, and now the focus that we have is on pro-life issues. And this particular government is not backing down at all. And you're right. When it comes to a private citizen who's not, quote unquote, a religious institution, this Department of Health and Human Services and this administration in general is taking the position in our cases. They have no religious liberty rights at all, that they leave them when they enter the commercial marketplace. And this is simply not the case legally. It's not been the case traditionally. The Supreme Court has not looked at it that way. But the current administration is taking a hardline position against people like Frank O'Brien and others who we represent, saying they have no religious rights. And that's a case that we're going to be arguing soon in federal court in St. Louis, and I think for years to come, Jay.
Well, you talk about that. Let's talk about what's really happening in those HHS mandate cases. What is it that an employer, whether it's a university or a private employer, what are they being required to do?
Well, as of right now, and remember, this applies to them as of July 1st of 2012, the religious institutions have a year safe harbor, they call it, to figure out how to violate their consciences, as Cardinal Nolan put it. They're required to include in their health care plan payment for all forms of contraception, sterilization, and abortifacient drugs. I mean, we represent people both from a Catholic and an evangelical, more of an evangelical background. Some of them have objections to contraception, but most of them it's objection to abortifacient drugs,
right,
drugs that act after conception has taken place. And they're being told, you have got to pay for this stuff. We don't care what you think about abortion. We, the government of the United States, are forcing you to pay for it. And these are people, and everyone that we represent has a generous health plan, has a generous employment benefit plan. We're not talking about Scrooge here. We're talking about people who take their Christian principles into the workplace with them, and they think they need to treat their employees in a fair, Christian way, following the golden rule. And they do that, but they do draw the line at things that violate their religious beliefs.
So why wouldn't the government just say, we're not going to require people to violate their conscience? I mean, it would be that simple, but they will not do that.
It would be that simple, and the government already does it, Jay. That's the crazy part about this. There are a number of congressional enactments on record that certain employers are protected already. This is not news. This is not something we're asking for that's strange. Most states allow this. States that have these so-called mandates, almost all of them, have a generous exemption that would allow even a quote-unquote non-religious employer to exempt themselves if they object to these things. For some reason, this particular administration doesn't want to do that.
Well, you know, the nature of this is outrageous, but that's not the only fight on the pro-life front. Let's go turn our attention to the direct challenges we've made to Planned Parenthood and some of their billing practices. These are big cases, again, going directly at the source, Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the world.
Exactly. Who gets $500 million out of our taxpayer dollars a year to subsidize their activities? But that's not good enough for them. They still try to get more, and they try to do it in illegal ways. And that's what we allege in our case that's ongoing in Texas against Planned Parenthood, which, by the way, is their flagship Planned Parenthood, I think, in the country, the Planned Parenthood in Houston, who we're suing in this case. And recently, the federal court denied their motion to dismiss our case. They asked the court to throw it out, claiming that we didn't allege things with sufficient specificity and other technical legal matters. And the court denied their motion, or at least 90% of it, and we are full speed ahead in that case. We've got something like 15 or 20 depositions to be taken within the next 6 weeks, really, over 13,000 pages of documents that we're plowing through at the moment, quite literally, trying to get a handle on.
How significant, Frank? People need to understand the significance of these cases. These are significant pro-life cases. This one in particular, these Planned Parenthood cases, how significant? In the cases you've handled over the last 20 years, where do you rank this?
Well, this is right at the top, Jay. I mean, we are challenging the number one abortion provider in the country, and we're challenging them on a level that, you know, it's not a question of whether you think abortion is right or wrong. It's whether you think cheating and stealing is right or wrong. Even people who have disagreements about abortion, I suppose, seem to agree that cheating the government, which is us, because we're the people who fund the government, is wrong. And we're finding that is exactly what Planned Parenthood has been doing. And this case is a direct attack on that. And
how aggressive are they fighting?
Oh, very aggressive, Jay. Every inch of the way, they are throwing up every legal roadblock they can come up with. They've got, of course, the biggest firms in the country representing them in these cases. But, you know, that's our job. We're fighting them as hard as we can with everything we've got.
All right. As you look at both the Planned Parenthood cases and the HHS mandate cases, and you compare those to where we were 20 years ago on the abortion issues, I've told people people need to understand these are much more difficult and much more nuanced cases. This is a whole different fight. If you're representing doctors or medical professionals, these are a different fight, but for the same cause.
It's true. They are a much more sophisticated type of fight legally. But it is for the same cause, and ultimately it's for the protection of human life and the sanctity of human life from the first moment of conception, and that's what these cases are all about, ultimately.
You optimistic that we carry the day?
I am, Jay.
All right, very good. Frank Mannion is a senior counsel for the ACLJ. He's been at the real stalwart of the front lines fighting these cases and fighting them aggressively, whether it's the HHS cases, whether it's Planned Parenthood, or whether it is cases where we're representing medical professionals. Frank's gotten verdicts and gone to jury trials and gotten verdicts for nurses that were being fired because of their refusal to participate in abortion procedures. So Frank knows firsthand, and he's telling you this is a much more nuanced and much more sophisticated fight now than we've ever experienced in the past. Thanks, Frank. We appreciate it. Folks, what we're going to do right now is I want to encourage you again. We are just days away from filing a brief to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. The issue there is crisis pregnancy centers and our ability to make sure these crisis pregnancy centers can exist, because the fight right now, and it's a serious one, is these regulations are trying to close them down. And in order to maintain and to protect the rights of these crisis pregnancy centers, that's where you come in. We want you to sign this brief. The number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also sign the brief online at aclj.org. So it's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or aclj.org. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you next time.
The ACLJ is preparing to file a significant amicus brief backing a pro-life lawsuit that's challenging a troubling law in Baltimore. This is the time to stand up for life. Add your name to our amicus brief in the Baltimore case. The move to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers by using unconstitutional laws is very real and must not succeed. Make a difference. Add your name to our brief today. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.